看来我们只能靠自己了。
地球错失了最后一个机会。
这座宫殿不是庇护所。
我觉得旁边的二货人哪辆几班鱼的毛病。
Hi everyone, and welcome to Middle Earth, your source for insight into China's cultural industry. How the cultural business works in a part of the world told by the ones who are in the trenches of creation, production and distribution. I'm your host, Aladin Faré from CCP, China Compass Production, your film production service in the Middle Kingdom. Whenever I talk with my Western friends about Chinese film, I feel that for some of them, those movies are either all shot by under-the-radar indie directors in a remote area or are some massive production blockbuster with a lot of stars that no one ever heard of in the West. But today, I'm really excited to present to you Kaixin Mahua, or Manhua Fun Age in English. Kaixin Mahua was a few times actually mentioned previously by the guest of the podcast. Founded in 2003, the company focuses on comedy content with theater, comedy musical, children play, online TV series, and film. Today, I am with this vice president, Mrs. Lear Chung.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lear. Nice to talking with everyone here on the podcast. And thank you, Aladdin.
Well, thank you for having us. It's a dream coming true for me. I can finally come to this wonderful company because I do love your content. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, great,
so
thanks.
You started your career in finance and editing. Then you moved to the documentary production company Cinex that we actually interviewed Ruby Chen, her co-founder, episode 21 of Middle Earth. And then you moved on to feature films as producer. And last year in 2019, you joined Kaixin Mahua. So we'll first talk about the origin of the company, their business model, what kind of project they created, and how they see the future of Chinese comedy. And after this conversation, we will finish with the usual recommendation of our guest. We, in exchange for it, will get a ticket voucher for any live show in China from our partner 247 Tickets. And a big thanks to Cristiano Bortone and Zhang Ling Xiao of Bridging the Dragon, who put me in touch with Lear. So, guys, if you want to support the show, I'm not asking you to become a patron, give me money or anything, but you can definitely recommend guests to me, because on the majority of people that came to Middle Earth, almost all of them got interview thanks to a friend recommendation. So if you are Zhang Yimou's WeChat, you know what to do. And actually, we are today in Kaixin Mahua office, so the room might be a little bit echoey and there will be people in the background who might be working. I think we could start with the beginning. So could you introduce a little bit the beginning of the company? Like what kind of project were produced at the time and how things evolved over the past 17 years now?
Like Aladdin introduced at the beginning, Manhua Fun Age is a comprehensive comedy company producing stage shows, musicals, children plays, films, series and variety shows. Basically every storytelling format in comedy. And we founded in 2003, starting with producing comedy stage shows in Beijing. Our first show is called Make Mahua to You. And the show was performed during the December-January time. So actually, we invented the concept of the New Year stage play. And since 2003, we've continued launching original stage plays and gradually become a popular comedy brand in the field of domestic stage drama. And then we continue to diversify our product portfolio. And we have like musicals. And then we also started to go out of Beijing. So till 2012, we've got subsidiaries in Shenzhen, Shanghai, and Tianjin. And we started to cover the stage show market all over China. Like for all these years, like since 2012, we are the number one in annual audience attendance, box office, and number of performances in the Chinese stage show sector. And last year, we gave about like 3,000 performances in more than 100 Chinese cities. And actually, like 2012 is also a very important year for us because that's when we have our debut on the CCTV Spring Festival Gala and performed the original sketch comedy, Today's Happiness. That's where we started to gain our national reputation as a comedy company. Just for international friends, like the CCTV Spring Festival Gala is one of the most important show in China every year during the Chinese New Year season. And it's a big honor for the artists to be invited to perform in this show.
Yeah, which is being watched by the entire country, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Like all the family together. So later, and we performed 6 sketch comedies 4 years in a row in the annual Spring Festival Gala. And then the next, I think, a very important moment for us is 2015. That's when we started entering into our film industry. We have our... you can stop me, Aladdin, whenever you feel necessary.
Yeah, because,
when I started to talk about my company, I have a lot to say. So
what a nice gig. I was wondering, like, when the company was started, were the founder thinking about just entering theater play and that's it? Or were they having already this kind of plan, like, okay, we're going to start with comedy, then we're going to make comedy enough successful that we can turn them into a film or like TV shows and stuff like this?
From my understanding, I understand when they started, it's a very small group of people, like walking a very lonely journey for their love in art and comedy. And stage show sector is very small at that moment. But I think it's like, it's really because they're dedication in this, and they started to gain a lot of attention and trust and love and laughter from the audience. And that's how this company started to grow further into different areas. I think all these different areas comes over the years.
So then in 2015, there is the biggest debut of the company, which is a movie, Goodbye, Mr. Losers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so adapted from a play that basically breaks the box office.
Yes, and for this movie, and actually we also made a bold move because the creative team of this film, they are all new to film industry. They are all coming from the original stage shows creative team, like the same director, the same actor, and the same actresses. We didn't use any stars, and we just use what we think best for this story to tell in this new art form, and it became a success. Actually, at the beginning, like not so many people believe this is gonna work, but actually we made it, and it's the number two box office record ever in that year.
So could you briefly, I don't know if you have more numbers that you could share. You said the number of theater plays you make, how many films did you produce, how many online shows you made? Do you have more numbers that you could share?
Actually, for the film part, actually your question is... it's a very good question, because whenever people think about Ma Hua Feng Age, people think, oh, they produce a lot of films. But actually, we only have 6 films in the past, I don't know, 5-6 years. It's about 1 film per year. And every film is a success in a way. It either has like one of the best ratings in its genre, or it has the like the biggest box office ever in that genre. So if that answers your question.
And I was also thinking about not just movies, but also theater.
So in our catalog of stage plays, we have about 40-something. So that's also, it's very important asset for the company. So for example, in our future development in the film business, that's also part of the stories where we can select from.
Okay, so you have already 40 stories that can be easily adapted.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious then, what is the writing process that the company does? Because as you were showing me the tour of the company just before, I saw on the wall like so many talents, picture of people. Then how does that work? Like you take people in, scriptwriter, actors, and then they will like work together as like a team studio, and then they will like create plays that will maybe later be transformed into film?
For the stage play part, it's very much like what you said. It's very much a teamwork. So basically the actors, actresses, the directors, scriptwriters, they work in teams. They talk about every scene together. They talk about the bios of the characters. They talk about everything. And then after the first performance out, they collect feedback from everybody, even from the reactions of the audience. So after the first performance, when the performance finishes, they stayed on and they discuss all the feedbacks, and they improve that in the next day's performance. And over the years, because you have the first round of performance for the first year, and then you have the second or third round of performance, and after all these performances, they collect feedbacks, and then they improve based on all the audience feedback. You can imagine this like a focus group, but with a much bigger data pool, because all the audience they're going to have their feedback, real-time feedback, people whether like it or not. So that's how we started from a group of people, and eventually the whole story improved with everybody's inputs.
To keep talking about your talent, so like people send you a CV and then maybe they are good enough and then they will go in into your agency as like they start low rank as a writer or like a second role in a play and then they will move up? How do you nurture the talent basically?
So first there's a recruiting season and we're going to go to campus, and there's also people sending CVs. Basically there's open call. And then people comes in, there's a training program. Basically, only selected people, they can join the training program. And after this, I think it's a 2 months or something, after training program, and some stayed. And then they started to go on in our stage shows. From the very beginning, they are the actors and the actresses. And later on, they grow up in the creative ladder. They can become like assistant directors, they can start to write something, and then someday maybe they become the lead actor or lead actress, or they become the directors. So this is the path everybody taken, and I think it's very comedy, because for the comedy part, like basically you are everything in one person. You can write, you can direct, you can act. That's how you understand. So this is how everybody grows in this business. And throughout the way, they will have more opportunities. Like they have opportunities in stage shows, and later on they have opportunities in series or in movies or in variety shows or doing sketch programs in those spring gala.
Because the majority of the public is from Western countries, and then if you would try to define Chinese humor, I think people would not really have a lot of idea what it is. The question is basically what kind of comedies are successful in China? And maybe over the years, did the kind of humor evolve?
That's a very good question, but very difficult to answer. Because, you know, like, especially in our industry, like, everybody's saying, like, oh, you guys are so great, because comedy is the most difficult thing. And we always say, okay, Mahua, we are very good at comedy, and we have our own style. And what is that style exactly? Actually, I don't know how to describe it, like with words. I can say it's very modern. It's accessible for everybody. It's very up to date because it's relevant to everybody's life, because you see different comedy groups in the Chinese comedy sector. But I think Manhua probably is the only one which we can covers like different topics or different groups of people.
Okay, I guess maybe it's for you a difficult question to answer. I'm not asking you like the precise pie of revenues of your company, but I'm wondering like what is the basically stream of revenues?
We have like three business units. So like the first one is the stage show business. And so the second is the film business. And for the film business, there's also those series, right? Shows and all these, I would say, this kind of movie and the TV formats. And the third business is talent management. So these are the three major revenue streams of the company.
First question, like, could you roughly give an estimate of which department, like how much do they bring to the table? I would imagine that the movies bring 90%. And second thing, like, why is the talent agency so important?
I will answer this way. The stage show piece is more steady because it's like you can have the show throughout the year, but we were badly hurt by the
COVID
epidemic. Yeah. And now the market is gradually recovering. We will see like how many performance can be delivered. Yeah, and for the movie business, it's always a hit business. That means when you have the film, you have the money, and you don't have the film, you don't. And on average, we have much higher success rate than any other major film company. For the talent management, it's like normal, like all the talent management. You have the talent, you send them out, right? So I would rather not answer like exact but I want to explain the difference. Basically, every business is very important for us, and especially for the talent management part, because as I said, like because we many of our films, we use our own talents, and we are very dedicated to developing our own talents. We have different stages of giving them trainings and let them have different opportunities to develop themselves. So this piece, actually the talent management part, we started only from 2017. It just, I would say, it's more like become a formalized department or business unit. That's the base for our business to grow. It doesn't matter if it's stage shows or it's films or it's series. It all asks for the talents. And when people hear of, oh, it's from Mahua, it kind of shows the quality or the committee capability. Kind of, it has this brand.
How many actors then? Around 50? I saw 50 picture on the wall.
We have about 400.
400.
We have about 400 actors and actresses, script writers, directors, all kinds of talents.
Yeah, as we were talking about the epidemic, because also like for the show now, we tried to open the floor on Twitter. So I said that I was going to interview people from the company. So I have Maja, who is doing a PhD on Chinese studies. And she was asking me, like, since 2003, so the company, as you explained, did a lot of medium. You tried to going in different way. But then how do you see the future now? Because it seems like you are going on a lot of medium. You find like a really stable way of creating content and nurture your own ecosystem. So what are the plan coming for the future?
So it's important for us to build an ecosystem as a comedy company to diversify different comedy products in different business. So in stage show area, so like you mentioned, like the improv, talk show, those are the areas we are having. We are also having some classes for kids. Like that's also the improv part. It's called like Little Mahua. And we also looking at building a theater management chain. So that's also providing the security net for all our performances, because we are trying to find some good theaters to manage all over China. So that's for the stage show part. And for the movie production part, like I mentioned before, so we will continue to do good films, good series. And one part is we're looking at our catalog of original stage shows, and then we're also writing original screenplays, and we're also looking at acquiring rights from other art formats. And now we are also making series for streaming platforms. And for the talent part, so we are making customized projects for our talents and to see what's best for them. We are also trying to develop more new talents in our projects. So basically, we are going deeper in our three business units. We want to become a very, very, very nice comedy brand and continue to bring laughter to people. Because especially in this time of era, happiness is really important.
Yeah, I think it's interesting now when you're saying your plan how to bring comedy classes even to young people. Now I'm already thinking about Farewell My Concubine and all those really young in this movie when you see like people being trained for the Beijing Opera when they're like 5 years old. Now I'm already thinking about this.
Wow. I don't
because you are, yeah, you said you are managing theater. You are managing one theater?
So that's in the pipeline, but probably at this time we don't make it more precise. We don't give precise numbers.
Okay.
It's a very important business part, especially for the stage show sector.
So that you can have like the control basically on the entire pipeline.
Yeah, I think it's a very much similar logic. Like you have film theater chain and films. Yeah, but of course you can do other stuff when you have theaters. You can have like your performances there. You can have films there, or you can also like have, I don't know, have other shows coming here.
All of this is really positive, and I actually congratulations on going this far. Now I'm just wondering, is there like a moment when the company kind of hit a wall somewhere? Like the company tried a project and it just didn't work, or maybe it didn't work in 2010, but then it worked in 2015. Do you have an example that you could share?
I would say now, actually, because the COVID-19 really brought us a lot of difficulties, like the whole stage show business was shut down. and the film business also, like, it's in this sad situation. Of course, now it's recovering, but I think we are a very strong company, which means everybody's trying so much to figuring out new ways. When things didn't work, they will try new things out. And I believe, like, eventually they will find something new. Actually, we are actually testing a lot of new ideas, new projects, and some of them work quite well, actually. So,
can you not
disclose too much.
Oh, okay.
I'm just thinking, maybe just give you an example. For example, the stage show during the Chinese New Year, we released it's like a movie, like stage show. It's adapted from one of our this year's new show. I think that one was quite successful. It's also exploring new territory for the stage show business.
I'm not really following. So where did you release it? What was it?
Oh, it's released online.
Okay, but like on iQIYI, Youku?
In Xigua.
So you released the movie for free on Xigua? For free, like Xigua, yeah. Give you a commission and then you...
Something like that.
And you put the movie online for
Xigua. Something like that, yeah.
Okay. But do you think the whole... Because we keep hearing about the whole... Now we all move online, we all use Zoom a lot. But I saw a film, for example, one day on iQIYI, which was 12 yuan. The movie just was supposed to go out in the cinema, but it was 12 yuan. And then we could watch it with five people. It was only 24 hours. But then I'm wondering, like, the producer and the movie distributor, like, this is maybe not a model that can work forever.
For this part, so first, I think it really depends on the type of the film. So for us, we think because of the COVID-19, people will be more selective when they go to cinema. So we will focus our strategy on blockbuster strategy. And so, for example, now the two biggest projects we are working on, they are all blockbuster type. And one is the sci-fi comedy. The other is like fantasy comedy. It kind of gives you a very strong visual experience. You have to watch it in the theaters. So we think this kind of film is where people are going to continue to watch in the theater. But for films with less visual experience, maybe people will prefer to watch online. And in your case of this 12 yuan example, I think it really depends. I think there's a math behind that, because the revenue split scheme is better online, actually, for producer than showing it in theaters. Because with online, I'm not sure exactly number, but I think it's like 50-50 split or what. But with all the films shown in the theaters, it's about like 30% back to the producer. So there's math behind it, and there's bigger marketing budget required for the theater release compared to the online one. So I think it's really about the math part.
Because of the majority of the podcast listeners are in Western countries, and I'm sure after hearing your interviews, they think, wow, this company is so successful. We must co-produce a movie with them, or we must co-produce something. We must have some collaboration with them in the future. Do you actually do co-production?
Yeah, we do co-productions with international companies because we have some filmed internationally. For example, like we just had one Italian-Chinese co-production made in Rome. So we are also currently have a big project. It's also co-production with an international company. So I think it depends on the story. We are looking for good stories.
I'm curious because we're part of the Cineca Network. One of the episodes of the podcast SubChina, they interviewed like people from the cinema, and those guests were saying that China is such a big market, Chinese filmmakers and film producer don't need actually international co-production because the market is so huge that they don't need to do collaboration with other countries. I guess they're right. And then I'm wondering, why do you bother doing collaboration with other countries? Because I've worked in co-production, smaller scale documentary, but it's always a hassle. You have another team, it's not the same timeline on Earth. People don't always talk the same language. They don't think the same way. They have other ways of working. Then during the shooting, you can have like dramas happening, stuff like this. So I'm wondering, like, why would you bother doing then those kind of collaboration?
I think it really depends on the story itself. For example, like before I joined Mahua, like I worked on the film. It's a China-Brazilian co-production. It's really because the story happens in these places, so you have to. And for some art film, I think it's sometimes it's you're looking for the most fit creative people for the story. So sometimes you want to find a music composer from Israel, or you find we want to have an editor from France. You just have to work with them. So I think it's a must. It's really about the story and you want to tell and in which style you want to tell.
Now we are moving on to the last part of the show, the recommendation. So could you introduce to the audience like one or two movies or stage play that you think the audience should watch?
So I want to recommend everyone a movie, almost a comedy, is our most recent film. It was released in last year. So it's best rated Chinese romance and a comedy film on Douban last year. And Douban is the Chinese Rotten Tomato. And the story is about three young people have very different ideas. One wants to say goodbye to single life. One wants to have a dissipated night before marriage. And the other one wants to set a firm footing in Beijing. So they are a love triangle. And I really like the film is because it discusses something about what it really means about happiness, what it means about materialism. And it's a little bit funny, a bit sarcastic, and it's very modern, and it has this little industrial touch. So, and it tells kind of painful story in a very lighthearted way, I think.
I actually saw the film and I will definitely recommend the audience to watch it. And actually when I saw it, because yeah, it's drama, but then you laugh a lot and then it's really touching at some point. When I was seeing the movie, I was kind of slightly, not shocked, but pleasantly surprised because I feel that China, there is like this whole thing about love is like something pure and you cannot make joke about that. You cannot like have this question of love triangle. That was the first time that I was seeing on screen like a love triangle in a Chinese movie, and I was really surprised that this topic could be talked about.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay.
We can talk about because it's really about someone who's supposed to get married to someone, but then he's still like seeing around.
Yeah.
Not really a pleasant person.
Yeah, but very real. Like you see, because all the characters, I think what's interesting about this film is all the characters, you kind of know them. They're like people you work with or you hang out with in your real life. And their secrets and their feelings, you somehow can see from the film. And also yourself's own feelings.
And to come back to the business model of your company, so all the actors were not famous, basically.
The actors are not famous, but the actress is known. But actually, the lead actor, his face was not known to household, but actually he's our director for our fifth film, Hello, Mrs. Money, and the box office was 604 million yuan, so it's also pretty good. And he's actually also a good actor. So just like I said before, our talent, they are really everything in one talent.
Well, on those good words, I think we can wrap this show. So thank you for this recommendation, and as promised, you will get a voucher from our partner, 247 Tickets, so that you can go and see another live show or concert who are not from Kaixin Mahua.
Great.
And thank you, dear listeners, to stay until the end credits. Middle Earth is produced by China Compass Production, your production service in the Middle Kingdom. In case you have a cultural project related to China, drop us an email at chinacompassproduction.com and see how we can help. Today's episode was produced by Aladdin Faré,
co-produced by Kaiser Guo,
designed by Brandon Gonzalez,
music by Sean Calvo.
I guess you all have a podcast app, but if you don't want to miss the coming show or listen to the old ones, you can subscribe to our feed. And please do consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you get this show. Always help with the algorithm and our ego. Hope to see you next time and stay safe. Bye-bye.